W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Much of the nation is a snowy, icy mess. And in eastern Kentucky, this grocery store owner says things are a little busy as people stock up.
You got your staples. You have your milk, your bread, your eggs, doing a lot of propane exchange, a ton of water, a lot of canned goods. We've been selling a ton of canned goods this week.
There's a new deal between Israel and Hamas to get medicine to hostages and aid to Palestinians. CBS's Chris Livesay.
The deal was midwifed by France, and according to France, the idea was born by the family members of some of the hostages, more than 130 of them, who still remain in Hamas captivity.
In Maine, a court has just ordered election officials to reevaluate their decision to disqualify former President Trump from the 2024 presidential election ballot until after the U.S. Supreme Court rules in a separate case. CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Democratic law firm in Washington, D.C. is asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to reconsider the state's congressional map. The Elias Law Group says the court's landmark ruling on the Wisconsin legislature's map last month calls into question Wisconsin's U.S. House districts. Governor Evers says Republican senators were wrong to fire Public Service Commissioner Tyler Huebner yesterday. Senator Brad Paff was himself fired as acting Agriculture Secretary. He says Republicans are playing politics with the governor's appointments.
Rigid partisan ideology accomplishes nothing for the people of this state. And quite frankly, it just demonstrates to them that the government is broken and it does not work.
Republicans point out they've confirmed more than 480 of Evers' appointees. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. With the brutal cold beating on us this week, homeowners are taking extra steps to safeguard their pipes from freezing. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
When temperatures plummet below zero, keep your house at 55 degrees or warmer. Open cupboard doors where pipes are exposed to allow more heat to surround them. Experts also suggest using heated electric tape for exposed pipes or insulation covers for outdoor spigots. Leaving a small amount of water running in unoccupied spaces can also prevent freezing. If you suspect frozen pipes, turn off the water at the main valve and seek professional assistance.
Four Illinois men have been charged with conspiracy to commit mail theft in Waukesha County after being found in possession of stolen mail and checks. The criminal complaint says during a search of the suspect's vehicle, 21 pieces of mail were found that had been taken from Waukesha County businesses. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
The Badgers lose in an upset. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had not lost to a Big Ten opponent until they faced Penn State and Kane Clary.
Shot clock down to 10, game clock at 44. Clary drives by wall, pulls, pops, good off the glass. He has been spectacular. Penn State up 6, 34 seconds to play.
Matt LePay with the call. Clary finished with 29 points on the way to an 87-83 win for Penn State over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously the turnovers, I thought early, right from the start, we just got a little frenzied, and that gave them confidence as they were able to jump out to that lead that we could never quite get back where we felt we could get in control of it.
The Badgers host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers will be without backup outside linebacker Kingsley Enagbar after he suffered a knee injury against the Cowboys. Rookie Lucas Van Ness will have to step up as a pass rusher against the 49ers this Saturday night.
I think the more he plays, the better he gets.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The worst of the cold is over, and now wind chills will climb to feeling like near zero. With more clouds building in today, it's acting as a blanket, keeping us warmer. This means by tomorrow, we'll feel our actual temperatures. But still, it's sweater weather, and we don't thaw out until next week. 8 degrees at our studios.
What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network, locally in Racine on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha. 98Q Country in Park Falls and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night. Pregame at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And as we speak, there is a charade going on in New York City in federal court, the E. Jean Carroll case and Trump acting up. Let's get to it right now. Let's get to what he's up to right now. The jury was selected yesterday. Trump moved to postpone the trial because allegedly to go to his mother-in-law's funeral. The judge says you're welcome to go to her funeral. You simply won't be there for that day or that part of the day. But we're not going to postpone this trial. Then Trump attacked E. Jean Carroll on social media throughout the week. Yesterday, 22 times. 22 times he attacked her personally. Said it was a witch hunt, a hoax. He didn't remember her. She was doing it for the publicity. Remember, there's not a gag order in this case. Gag order is a term of art. Engoron put in a gag order in the state case for fraud, Letitia James's case. That's a state courthouse. State courtroom, very close to this federal courtroom. And that prevents Trump from doing this, precisely this, to court staff. That was appealed. And through several appellate layers, it was upheld. So he's handcuffed in Engoron's court. In this one, and by the way, there was a gag order in Tanya Chutkan's case, the federal case, in Washington, D.C. In this one, what there is a prohibition against Trump commenting to the jury publicly. In other words, if Trump wants to comment, he is permitted to testify, but this case is limited to exclusively what damages it caused, what financial harm it caused E. Jean Carroll to have her lie about her again and defame her. The underlying defamation, the underlying tort, has already been established. The correct legal term is collateral estoppel. You don't need to know that term, but what it means is if you got nailed in one trial and then you're up in another trial, the facts that were adjudicated in that first trial are still binding on you. That court, that jury, and it was in the judgment, said that he had sexually assaulted her, abused her. He can't overcome that. He's not even permitted to testify about it. The judge could put in a jury instruction. Maybe he will in the final analysis in this case. that that's what's happened. All that that Trump can testify to, all that E. Jean Carroll can testify to, is how badly, especially financially, it affected her. And remember, you have in tort damages how much it affected her emotionally, how much she was ostracized by people, threatened by people, made fun of by people. She got death threats. She got messages and emails saying she should be raped. She should be killed. She's afraid to go out. She started to sleep with a gun next to her bed. Her writing contracts dried up, ruined her life. It ruined her life. One of the things about Trump that's very unusual, I've never seen anything like it in all my years of practice, is usually if there's a trial and somebody is nailed for an intentional tort like defamation, and there are big damages, and $5 million of big damages, that's the end of it. They don't continue to lie. They shut up. It's over. With Trump, you have a kind of an irrational child who continues to scream in the kitchen and won't shut up and won't stop doing it. And I think he thinks that if this jury comes back with $5 million, he'll appeal that. He'll get a lot of publicity. And if it, in the final analysis, he has to pay $5 million here, $5 million there, he simply takes it as political donations. I mean, the NRA took massive amounts of money out of all the small donations they get every month to fly on luxury trips, buy expensive clothes and all this. Trump will use it for attorney's fees, even in cases that have nothing to do with the election. He'll put out a fundraising appeal and say, help us fight the rigged elections. He'll spend it any way he wants. He'll spend it on judgments in this case, spend it on attorney's fees in this case. And he's been getting away with that. So he doesn't care. There are two ways to stop him from doing this going forward. One way is for the judge to enter an injunction. Trying to, what was called a prior restraint of speech is very difficult under our First Amendment, and rightly so. And there are two kinds of speech. There's commercial speech and other speech. Commercial speech is a little easier to get an injunction on. If some company lies about the other company's product, it's commercial. But if you say something about an opponent in politics, very, very rare to get an injunction. The remedy usually is the other side sues you for defamation. And when they win and they get a money judgment, that's it. But what do you do if you have someone who is emotionally disturbed, who's a sociopath, who's essentially a child emotionally? Some people, I'm one of them, think he has early onset argumentative dementia, somewhat mentally ill. What do you do if they're very wealthy, or at least they have access to money, and they keep relentlessly spreading the same lie, producing death threats and rape threats against E. Jean Carroll? What do you do? Something that the lawyers in this case have not yet done is to ask Judge Kaplan to enter an injunction stopping him. They haven't done it. That was requested for Ruby Freeman and Shane Moss against Giuliani. And Giuliani continued to lie the very day of his trial. Remember, he got nailed for $148 or $9 million. The very date of his trial, he lied again. He said they did it. They rigged it. The jury didn't like that. And the jury ended up awarding $140 some odd million, which is a big number no matter who you are, especially if you're Giuliani. But what do you do if someone is essentially mentally ill, psychotic, and is continuing irrationally to lie and irrationally prompting death threats and rape threats? What do you do? Well, this is one of those rare cases where an injunction would be warranted, in my view. The plaintiff's lawyers have a different strategy, and I think it's very, very smart. I think it's going to work. In addition to the damages, they, how do I reconstruct my wife, my life, says E. Jean Carroll to him. In other words, what amount of money could repair what's happened? And let's be blunt. If you lose your arm in an auto accident that's somebody else's fault, let's say the jury gives you $5 million. In advance, while you had two arms, you're not going to sell one of your arms for $5 million. You're just not going to do it. All that you can get with a money damages judgment is some recompense that's inadequate no matter how much it is. But the other thing you get in a defamation case like this is punitive damages. And punitive damages were a big part of the award against Giuliani. And in this one, I could see them after this trial getting up, plaintiff's lawyers, E. Jean Carroll's lawyers in front of the jury and saying, look, what he has done, he continues to do. He said it again 22 times on the first day of the trial. It was yesterday. He's going to continue to say it. He's going to continue to say things that generate rape and death threats. This woman can't go out of her house. So punitive damages, give her $150 million. At some point, he can go into, not his own bank account, he'll go into some of these political contributions and grab what he can. The question is, at some point, is that going to stop him? I'm not sure it does. He'll tie it up in appeals. My own view is that it's going to require, absolutely going to require, an injunction against the guy. And there's no amount of money that's big enough to make him stop. He calls right in social media. He'll say, this hoax. Now, today there was an episode. The judge threatened to throw him out of the courtroom because he was told not to talk in a way that the jury could hear him, not to talk. Well, what he did was he would, quote, whisper, end quote, in a very loud voice to his lawyers about it was a hoax. This is a setup, all of this kind of stuff. Now, when he does that, the judge finally, the plaintiff's lawyers caught him on it. And the judge said, look, you have a right to be in court, but I can exclude you if you disobey the court. I've got a better idea. Did you watch any of the trial of the Waukesha murderer, the Christmas murderer a few years ago? They put the guy in a cage. He couldn't shut up. He kept running his mouth. So they put him in, basically it was a holding cell right in the courtroom that was soundproof. And he would, you know, grimace and all this. Then the judge would activate sound when he had to speak or to testify. Do it with Trump. Put him in a defendant's cage for recalcitrant defendants. He's going to keep whispering. He's going to keep saying these things. He stared at the jury as it was selected, trying to menace them, trying to impact them. And if he starts whispering these things, he could whisper threats. Something's got to be done about this guy. For the rest of his life, he will generate death threats against people he thinks are enemies. That's got to stop. It's got to stop right now. Coming up, back in a second, coming up, he lied to the judge about why he wanted the continuance of the trial. Coming up.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Greenfield, RobertHackDiamonds.com.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is pretty poor. It's lying Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump. Normally, people are a little smoother than this, even if they're crooks. They're not stupid enough to lie to the judge. Was easily verifiable. Trump had his lawyers bring a motion to postpone the trial because his mother-in-law's funeral is this week. I believe it's Thursday. So obviously a one-day pause, and that it could still go on. He has lawyers. He just wouldn't be there that day. Isn't enough to stop a trial. So he tried to gin it up into 2 days. And so what he told the judge through his lawyers, he told his lawyers he'd be traveling on Wednesday to a funeral, which is in Florida. He's in New York right now. And then the funeral's Thursday, and then it's a hassle getting back, so let's kick it over a week or two. Anything for a delay. Well, an enterprising reporter checked his campaign schedule. And his campaign calendar says that on Wednesday evening, he's going to be at a rally in the New Hampshire primary that evening. You're not going to Florida for a funeral on Wednesday. He's going to New Hampshire for a rally. He told the judge he'd be traveling to the funeral. You know, we're going to talk about this a little later in the program, but there has got to be more emphasis by constant repetition that he is lying, Donald Trump, crooked Donald Trump. You cannot possibly permit him to continue to be referred to as former President Trump and have him shout that Joe Biden is crooked Joe Biden. What he's doing is he is transferring all of his faults, and they're considerable, all of his mental illness, all of his incompetence and dishonesty, and just transferring it to his opponent, and then giving adjectival descriptions of it about his opponent. It's about him. And as we'll be discussing in a little bit, it's about time that that Biden's campaign and the Democratic Party has to adjust their campaign strategy. In the jury selection, there's a difference between selecting a jury in federal court and state court frequently. There certainly is in Wisconsin. And the federal judge, like any judge, has complete power over his courtroom. But a federal judge doesn't run for re-election. He can be a lot tougher on lawyers and on recalcitrant defendants, which Judge Kaplan, who has a terrific reputation, certainly is. So there's a thing called the voir dire process, V-O-I-R-D-I-R-E. It's old corrupted French. From centuries ago, obviously based on Latin, that is the description, voir dire, you know, you speak. In other words, you find out from the jurors, do you have any prejudices? Should you not be on this jury? And in the voir dire process, it came out, Judge Kaplan asked the jurors, does anybody here think the last election was rigged? Two of them raised their hand, New York City, two of them raised their hand. They obviously didn't get picked. Okay, so did any of you volunteer in either of the campaigns, Biden or Trump? At least one woman raised her hand. She volunteered for Biden, so she's not going to get picked. But the question of how you elicit that information, searching for prejudice, is very interesting. In federal court, a lot of federal judges say, all right, you can submit to me, if you're the lawyers, written questions in advance, and I'll decide which ones are going to be presented to the jury. And I may simply read them, or I may paraphrase them or say my own, but you're not going to speak to the jury. Federal judges usually have complete control in the litigation process. In state court, in Wisconsin certainly, the two lawyers get up and they take turns and they'll say, okay, they have a list showing who the names of the, and they'll say, Mrs. Jones in the first row, you said that your husband works for the police department. What does he do there? Is he a police officer? Is he staff? Or, you know, what does he do? And that way you start asking about backgrounds politely, respectfully, to see if you think that there are jurors who would be prejudiced one way or the other, like in a criminal case for law enforcement or for the defendant or whatever. Now, in this case, Trump was very, very much part of that process, not by saying anything, but by intimidation. There were so many jurors, there were some sitting in the pews behind the counsel table, some in the jury box, and he would wheel around and stare at them in kind of a menacing fashion. These people, unless they've been living on Mars, know who he is, and they also know what he's accused of, and they also know that people who have run afoul of him get death threats. They know that. You can't prevent him from being there because he is the defendant. The judge did a very, very good job in telling him, you can't talk to the jury. You can't sneakily whisper things that you know they're going to hear, and so forth. Well, E. Jean Carroll's lawyers on two occasions had to bring to the judge's attention that he disobeyed the judge. And he was not only intimidating jurors, but he also was whispering things in a fake whisper that was really loud enough for jurors to hear, about hoax and rigged and set up and, you know, all this kind of thing. These discussions with the judge were out of the presence of the jury. One of them was during a lunch break. Usually everybody is dismissed for lunch and the judge keeps the lawyers there to go over housekeeping things like this. But the other one, I think, they raise it to the judge and they dismiss the jury. The jury is not going to hear the argument. And the judge turned on Trump. And there's not much he can do as long as Trump shuts up of his staring at the jurors. He was trying to stare at E. Jean Carroll on the stand. And he's a kind of an intimidation factor. You may remember the debate with Hillary Clinton where it was sort of like a shark, like in Jaws, sort of trailing her right behind her, trying to throw her off, trying to intimidate her. Well, in this case, he has eye contact. And what he is doing is trying to completely subvert the legal process in this country, not just from appeals, fake appeals. You know, he has a judge now who's Eileen Mercedes Cannon in Mar-a-Lago, who's on his side. She's basically advocating for him, but insulting, threatening so that his loyalists attack people. Woman came to murder Tanya Chutkan, Judge Chutkan in Washington. She's now a criminal defendant. She's going to get jail time because of Trump. Poor Jack Smith and his family have had to move. They're in protective custody. Even the law clerk of Judge Engoron. Well, he's doing it here. He's doing it again. Judge Kaplan has done his best in terms of keeping control, but I strongly think that he is going to have to, especially after Trump lied to him about the postponement, sanctioning him, and that may be putting him in a soundproof cage. Put him in a soundproof cage. See how he likes that. Okay, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and a fascinating poll. Only 4 out of 30 of Trump's policies are approved by a majority of people in this country. You'll really want to hear this.
Your home for the devil's advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is one step closer to letting gas stations and other businesses build their own electric vehicle chargers. A bill that passed the state Senate yesterday would change Wisconsin regulations to allow it. About 15% of Wisconsin's children are obese. State lawmakers are introducing 5 bills to help kids get in shape. One of them would require 180 minutes of physical activity in schools through 8th grade.
Our schools are already required to do Phi-Ed, but instead of focusing sheerly on the academic section, perhaps on what is tennis, we're going to actually get our kids playing tennis and moving as much as possible.
Representative William Penterman is a member of the Speaker's Childhood Obesity Task Force. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Areas in the southern part of the listening area could see a quick snowfall tonight. The wind chill advisory is gone for now, with a possibility of bitter cold wind chills coming back Friday night, remaining through Sunday. A light snow-producing system may impact southern Wisconsin tomorrow, with expected accumulations of up to 2 inches in some areas closer to the lake. While not as dire, it's still cold. To find a warming center near you, call 211. It was a 10-9 vote early this morning, with the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors approving a proposal for a new Hard Rock Casino. Now, the city and county have both agreed to an intergovernmental agreement that sets the terms for the government payouts and conditions of the deal. The plan still requires approval from the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs and Governor Tony Evers. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Badgers lose in an upset. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers had not lost to a Big Ten opponent until they faced Penn State and Kane Clary.
Shot clock down to 10. Game clock at 44. Clary drives by Wall, pulls, pops. Good off the glass. He has been spectacular. Penn State up 6, 34 seconds to play.
Matt LePay with the call. Clary finished with 29 points on the way to an 87-83 win for Penn State over Wisconsin. Badgers head coach Greg Gard.
Obviously the turnovers. I thought early, right from the start, we just got a little frenzied, and that gave them confidence as they were able to jump out to that lead that we could never quite get back where we felt we could get in control of it.
The Badgers host Indiana Friday night. NFL, the Packers will be without backup outside linebacker Kingsley Enagbare after he suffered a knee injury against the Cowboys. Rookie Lucas Van Ness will have to step up as a pass rusher against the 49ers this Saturday night.
I think the more he plays, the better he gets.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The worst of the cold is over, and now wind chills will climb to feeling like near zero. With more clouds building in today, it's acting as a blanket, keeping us warmer. This means by tomorrow, we'll feel our actual temperatures. But still, it's sweater weather, and we don't thaw out until next week. 8 degrees at our studios.
Vapewaukee salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights, his leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more. MLK led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Vapewaukee in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Finn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I will get to you shortly. I want to present this segment. This is very, very important, and it was astonishing to me. Donald Trump has been campaigning on, and the experts have sorted out, roughly 30 issues, 30 policy issues. In a national poll, a well-regarded poll, only four of them are supported by a majority of the people in this country. The rest of them are not. It's important to know what they are. I'm going to give them to you right now. I'm going to start with the four that are supported by a majority of the country. That gives you an idea of why he's campaigning the way he is. And they all apply to immigration and transgender issues. 57% of the country, of the people polled, agree that we should ban hormonal and surgical treatment for minors who say they're transgender, 57%. 53% say it would be right to legally limit recognized genders. 56% think it is important to require immigrants to remain in Mexico while their asylum claims are processed. And 51% agree that illegal immigrants should be deported. That is why immigration and things like transgender issues are at the top of his campaign. But consider the rest, and I'm not going to go through 26 of them, but I'm going to tell you some of the lowlights, the highlights, lowlights of what he says in the support. Trump advocates eliminating the nonpartisan civil service, which originally was instituted about 120 years ago, the nonpartisan civil service, and having it all basically people he likes, people who support him. Only 21% of the country agree with him. Much of his own base doesn't agree with him, 21%. He has campaigned on saying he'll take control over the regulatory agencies, the FCC, the Food and Drug Administration, all of this. Only 18% of the country agree with him. He says he's going to use troops, send them into city, military troops, to enforce order. 31% of the country agree with him. The rest do not. He said he's going to send troops to Mexico to fight the cartels. 33% of the country agree. The rest don't. He says he's going to put in further tax cuts for corporations. 23% of the country, I think that's a good idea. The rest don't. He says he's going to get rid of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Now remember, 20.5 million people enrolled in the current enrollment people, period. Only 29% of the people in the country agree with him. The rest don't. He says he's going to withdraw from the World Health Organization. Only 28% of people agree with him. The rest don't. He said he's going to end aid to Ukraine. He also says he's going to pull us out of NATO. Only 38% agree with him on Ukraine. There was no poll question about NATO. The rest don't. He says he's going to end birthright citizenship, even though it's in the 14th Amendment. Only 38% of the country agree with him. The rest don't. In another study where he says that he's going to withdraw from the Paris Climate Accords again, only 30% of the people in the country agree with him on that one. And 73% of the country want to do more on climate change. Here is a chilling statement from people who are going to really guide an administration if you ever got in. And this is a guy, he's the director. He's the director, Paul Davis, or Paul Danz, I should say, D-A-N-S, director of Project 2025 at the Heritage Foundation. 2025 is a right-wing nut plan to essentially destroy our democracy if Trump gets in, take control of the government. That's why they say 2025, because the election is November of 24. But the new president, and it'll be Joe Biden, and he won't be new, he'll be the incumbent. But if it were Trump, he'd come in on January 20, 2025. Here's what this clown Paul Dan said, quote, "Never before has the whole conservative movement banded together to systematically prepare to take power day one and deconstruct the administrative state," end quote. In other words, they're looking at taking power, for God's sake, not representing the American people and standing up for the Constitution. Going to the lines, Chad of Greenfield. Thanks for calling, Chad. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really curious about your opinion on two topics. Number one, what just happened Monday when Rachel Maddow somehow makes some decision to censor President Trump, refuses to air his victory speech. I mean, this is more democracy being shut down. This is more proof that the mainstream media has been out to get him. It just keeps hurting your case. It makes you guys look petty, and it just enrages people. And, taking him off the ballot in Colorado, censoring his victory speeches, people see this, and I can't believe you guys don't realize this backfires. I'm wondering if you're for what she did or not. Who is she to decide what a mainstream network airs and what doesn't air? I mean,
yeah, that's a fair point. You know, Chad is a principal conservative from Greenfield. I always enjoy his calls. And he raises the question after the Iowa victory by Trump. Now, when you say victory is 51%, but it was substantial considering that the other two, Haley got 19 and DeSantis got 21 and Vivek Ramaswamy got about 8. And there were various nits and lice that, you know, went to other people. Here's my view on it, and you're very kind to suggest that I have part ownership of MSNBC. I mean, you said, you guys, I'm not a part owner of MSNBC. The way I would handle it if I were a news director, and I have great respect for Rachel Maddow, and by the way, the whole idea behind mainstream media is it's not a monolith. Fox News is mainstream media. So is NBC and MSNBC. So is CNN. So are all these things. If you want to see, there's a smorgasbord. There's a buffet of choices. And if you want to see him, you can go wherever you want. However, if you want my opinion, and she has no legal obligation to carry it, my opinion is that if I were a news director, I would carry some of it. He talks for a long period of time, and a lot of it is BS and lying, to be very honest with you, about the prior rigged election and all that. But there's some of it that is legitimate where he may say, I won. Never going to go on and win again. And I want to thank Eddie Jones over here and, Knuckles Morrison. Look, I've been at these things. I've seen them. I've been at Democratic ones and I've seen Republicans on the other side. So, I hear what you're saying. No, I wouldn't let him windbag on for, a long, long time and lie about stuff about a rigged election. The last election wasn't rigged. But it's a legitimate point that you're making, that you put on some of it, and then you fade when he gets nutty. But, he won. Okay, great. And all the pundits can go, well, he should have won by more and all this. I don't buy any of that stuff. I mean, let him have his innings. That's fine. And so on that one, I guess I would say I partially agree with you. When it comes to knocking him off the ballot in Colorado, there are two points of view. That's right now in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court will issue a decision. And when they issue the decision, it's binding on all the states. And that'll be that. You're raising the question, is it tactically foolish for the Democrats to have done that? Because people see it and then they dig their heels in and all that. The contrary view is that the 14th Amendment says that if you are guilty of insurrection or rebellion, and when I say guilty, it doesn't mean you have to be convicted. As a result of that, no Confederate officers could hold federal office again. They weren't convicted. They were pardoned. They were actually pardoned by Lincoln. Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee could not have run for president. They were pardoned by Lincoln. To heal the country. So it doesn't require a conviction. And the question is, did Donald Trump engage in insurrection against the United States? And I think he clearly did. if you take a look at his speech leading up to January 6th, first of all, he said he put out a save the date card. Come January 6th, everybody's going, January 6th? What the hell is January 6th? It's the Feast of the Epiphany. Feast of the Epiphany. It's a very, very fine day. But so they show up, and he riles them up, and he goes, you're not going to have a country. You got to take back your country. I'm going to come up there. And they went up, and five people died, and then 140 officers were beaten and had brain damage, some of them. Woman got shot. They said, hang Mike Pence. They brought a gallows, which they didn't make just that day. Let me tell you, you have Van Orden over in the third district, the congressman who actually showed up there. That's an insurrection. He was the mastermind. So the contrary view, Chad, is that if someone breaks the law, according to the Constitution, you have to be blind, and justice is blind. She has a blindfold on, no fear, no favor to either side. You have to implement it. The Supreme Court goes the other way, or if people don't like it and therefore they dig their heels in, so be it. I come down on the latter, but I understand your point of view, and there are a lot of respected analysts who say that it was tactically unwise, but I believe in enforcing the law. Mike of Menominee Falls, thanks for calling. Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it, as always. Hey, my topic today is immigration. I've called and talked to you about this in the past. Every media outlet that I've seen, whether it's CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, all showing the polls, both Democrat and Republican, that immigration is the number one concern, the number one topic for voters going into the 2024 election. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on immigration. My two cents on it are this. It's the worst that we've ever seen, and I think Joe Biden is doing it on purpose, and I'll tell you why. And you can look this up if you'd like, Matt. Since the 2016 election and into the 2020 election, the margin of victory for the Republicans in the state of Texas has gradually shrunk, and there's a reason for that. They're immigrating. The key Democrat talking point is we want to find a pathway to citizenship, and a pathway to citizenship is a pathway to the voting booths. And who are these illegal immigrants that Joe Biden lets into the country going to vote for? The Democratic president who allowed them to come into the country illegally because he refuses to enforce federal immigration law, or the Republicans that want people to immigrate into this country legally through the legal means? And it's not just people in Mexico, and it's not just people in South America. And the Senate immigration, the numbers that they just came out with were $350 billion that we have spent on illegal immigrants in this past year.
Okay, let me respond to that, Mike. I just have a few minutes before we go. I appreciate your call. There are two things that you said that I strongly disagree with. There's one that I certainly recognize. The one that I recognize is the polls do show that 50% of the people in this, over 50% are concerned about immigration, and they are, and that reflects the polls that I just read. What I don't agree with you is that we spent $350 billion. Every economist that looks at this, even conservative economists, say that our net wealth as a country has been increased by immigration. And I'm not just talking about, high-end stuff like the people that started Google or Elon Musk. I'm not talking about that. The people that come in from Mexico and South America are very hardworking people, and some of them are entrepreneurs, and they start small businesses. They have good family values, and they're important parts of our country. When it comes to the rest of it, we are going right now. We have to step away briefly. I'm going to respond further, and then I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Coming up, I'm going to respond further on immigration, and we also, coming up, you will not believe what the Texas Environmental Protection Agency locally has done.
The Shaw, WAUK.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to quickly respond further to my friend from Menominee Falls and then get to the lines. Do not hang up. So just responding just a little further on immigration, the one point on money I don't agree with, I think that there's been a net increase in wealth in this country because of immigration. But I do agree with the fact that right now is absolutely broken. And there are people coming in, not from Mexico and South America, but flying in from the Middle East, from China and everywhere else. And some of them are on the watch list. And that's a real problem. And there has got to be a considerable strengthening of our border. And there should, the goal should be no illegal immigration. You come in legally. I couldn't agree more with that. The final thing that my friend just said, though, was that somehow the reason for it is to get them to vote. And that the reason the Republican Party has diminished voting in Texas, in other words, fewer votes, is simply because there are more illegal people coming in. First of all, I don't agree with that for this reason. Right now, Hispanic Americans in this country are opposed to the present immigration policy. They're here and they don't want more. Joe Biden's numbers in the Latino community have gone down. That's number one. Number two, the reason why Texas Republicans don't do as well is take a look at who they are and what they do. First of all, they suppressed the Latino and immigrant vote for a long time, even though it was legal, and the black vote for that matter. They've passed criminal laws that say things like if you obstruct the view of an observer, it's a crime, and the observers are thugs who stand there. So you got to open your eyes. The deal is that the reason the Republicans aren't doing as well is because people don't like what they're doing. And the people who you say are benefiting in voting right now in the polls are trending more Republican than they were in the past. And that's something that I think in the Democratic Party we've got to do. So it was a whole basket of issues that you raised. Always appreciate your calling. But that's my view. We're going to go to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Lee, my friend, thanks for calling. Lee, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt. I'm getting a little tired of this immigration stuff and open borders. It's just a buzzword that Republicans use to gin up their base. The borders have never been open. And every time they go on the news and talk about open borders, this goes out to people in the public, and that's what brings people to the border. They think the borders are open because they're talking about it. It's never been open. It's just one of the buzzwords of the many that Republicans use because they have no policies, so they got to scare you into voting for them. Thanks, Matt.
Excellent point. Excellent, excellent point. There are a lot of externalities to this. There's a lot of cause and effect that people aren't taking into account. And the more that we are accused of it, the more it's going to, if you build it, they will come. And the truth is, there are things that have to be done, and they're not being done. In my view, Biden's doing his best, but there you have it. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Well, I couldn't agree more with that last caller. And the other thing about this is, which party and which president has been trying vehemently to get something done across, you know, bipartisanly, and which party is obstructing it at every turn. They don't want this. They want to keep this out there, just like your last caller said. I mean,
yeah.
Biden right. and the Democrats have been trying to come with something for ever since he's been in office, and they stonewalled.
Good point, Dick. I really appreciate your call. Thanks a lot. Bill of Economic, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Bill? Bill of Economic.
When he realized it was working in other states, he purposely wouldn't tell them where he wanted to send the planes because he wanted it to fail. He's been offered so much money and so much encouragement to solve the issue, and he's turned it all down. Now, I'm kind of redundant. The other guys that just called in said the exact same thing. We got to stop giving these people credibility for anything and said, look, when you're serious to talk about immigration, we'll sit out. But don't lie to the American public and say the border's open, because like the last person said, it's not. Every one of those immigrants have been documented, every one of them. And right. they're getting jobs, and they're helping our country. And yet the Republicans refuse to face honesty, integrity, diplomacy. Greg Abbott should be up on charges of disobeying federal orders. Well, he went against federal orders. We
right.
know that.
right. Well, it resulted in the deaths of a woman and her two kids swimming across the Rio Grande. It was terrible, disgusting. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Jack?
Okay, first of all, the only Republican solution that I've seen for the so-called immigration problem is the one proposed by our own Ron Johnson. Close the entire Mexican border. Well, do you like vegetables? How about parts for your car? A ton of stuff comes through that border. You can't close that border. And they, of course, the Republicans are well aware of this. This is more part of the general Republican approach to government. Break the government, cut back as much funding as possible, and then blame the Democrats when it doesn't work. But that's only part of the story. Another part of the story is that even the millions of so-called undocumented immigrants in this country are a very tiny fraction of the 330 million people. They're not going to replace us if they're undocumented. They ain't going to vote because they can't vote. You can only vote if you're a citizen. And right. finally, they're the largest, and according to the estimates that I've seen from a couple of different sources, varying between two-thirds and three-fourths of the undocumented immigrants are people who come into this country entirely legally, work visas, student visas. They get towards the end of their visa period, and they reapply for those visas, and they've got the job, or they're in school, and they can't get a visa again because it takes so long because, oh, the INS
right.
has been.
Good point, Jack. Very, very good point. Coming up, I see when the lines do not hang up. I'll get you after the break. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and the continuing resolution fate to keep the government open.
Home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Kern Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area, from residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Kern Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com, home of the superheroes.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.